In one of these buildings that used to stand here, which is gone now, on the upstairs, it was above a retail shop, was the start of the Harlem Writers Guild.
Is that next to the Martin Luther King Boulevard?
Yeah, it's at one of these corners right here.
Okay.
And
the building has since been torn down.
Yes,
so it's sort of been lost to history.
And I don't even know if they would remember the exact location, but it invariably it became a big starting point for people. That's where I believe Maya Angelou actually met James Baldwin. So they were involved. A couple of other names that we just kind of researched out: Audre Lorde, Paul Marshall, Ossie Davis, Sarah E. Wright, Lonnie Elder, Douglas Turner, Langston Hughes was involved. So it was definitely a kicking off part. And there's an interesting quote here. Where they said, Dr. Clark, who was one of the guys who founded it, said he couldn't remember if anything had been read, but the group decided, in fact, that there should be a group, and that would continue to meet and critique each member's work. It was also agreed that there should be vigorous discussions in the state of black affairs. So the first meeting was less about writing and more about the need for them to be writing and for them to have a voice that was going on. And the Harlem Writers Guild is still very active today. You can go to their website and find some more stuff up. So it's turned into a little bit of a powerhouse, but it was definitely the kicking off for some major careers, including Maya Angelou, who credits it to that.
These buildings, this one and this one, look older. So I imagine it might have been one of those.
Right. Yeah. Can I take a quick second while we're here to talk about James Baldwin?
Yeah, sure.
Unfortunately, we don't have an easy place on this tour. Alright. We don't really have a good location for where his home was that would be easy for us to get to from here, and I don't want to take you guys on a four-hour tour, but I think it's very important to talk about James Baldwin as one of the Harlem writers that was a really sort of a major force in Harlem. And he was a member of the Harlem Writers Guild. He was working here around the same time that Maya Angelou was, and they both sort of came into prominence in the middle of the 20th century, which means they were sort of both post-Harlem Renaissance. And this was especially important for James Baldwin. I almost said James Joyce. Especially important for James Baldwin because a lot of the writers that we're talking about on this tour, they came from. Most of the writers that we're talking about on this tour, they came from elsewhere. They came from the horrors of the Jim Crow South. They came from horrible segregated small towns in the Midwest. And so for them, Harlem was sort of a place to run to, a place that they could go and really explore their identity and maybe get political, get involved, and create change. However, for James Baldwin, he actually was born in Harlem and grew up here. His mother left his birth father at the age of three, and so he really didn't know him. However, his adopted father, the man that his mother ended up marrying, was a black preacher. However, he was quite self-hating and wasn't an especially good role model for James Baldwin in terms of black identity. And so fairly early on in his life, he started to kind of figure out that Harlem was sort of a horror show for him that he needed to escape. He went on to become a preacher like his adopted father for a little while. When he became a teenager, he started to recognize that he was gay. He started exploring some of that of his identity in the village. But even then, New York City and the aggression and the segregation and the bigotry that existed here, even in what was probably the most liberal city in America at the time, was too much for him to deal with. And he describes it as thus. He says, I was broke. I got to Paris with $40 in my pocket, but I had to leave New York. Reading had taken me away for long periods of time, yet I still had to deal with the streets and the authorities and the cold. I knew what it meant to be white, and I knew what it meant to be black, and I knew what was going to happen to me. My luck was running out. I was going to kill somebody. I was going to go to jail. I was going to be killed. My best friend had committed suicide 2 years ago by jumping off the George Washington Bridge. So that was the mind space that he was in when James Baldwin did eventually leave New York City and left Harlem for France and went and lived in Europe, off and on, coming back to New York here and there for the rest of his life. However, Harlem really never left him. Did you guys read any James Baldwin while you were reading material? His very first book, the one that really put him on the map, Go Tell It on the Mountain, was about his childhood in Harlem. It was a very thinly veiled autobiographical account. He then went on years later to write another book called Another Country about Bohemians and intellectuals in New York City, especially Harlem. And in that book in particular, he actually ended up recreating that same suicide of his best friend. One of the main characters in that book also jumps off the George Washington Bridge. So Harlem really lived in him until the day he died. And every time he came back to America, he continued to criticize it in a way that he said showed great love for his country. And some of the writings that he started coming out with in terms of civil rights were some of the best writings that I think, bar none, have existed in the civil rights movement. Especially wonderful is a letter that he wrote out to his nephew at a time when his nephew was coming into his early 20s and just starting to come into his own as a man. And he wrote to his nephew, "This innocent country..." Sorry, "This innocent country set you down in a ghetto in which, in fact, it intended that you should perish. Let me spell out precisely what I mean by this. For the heart of the matter is here, and this is the root of my dispute with my country. You were born where you were born, and you faced the future that you have faced because you are black, and for no other reason. I know your countrymen do not agree with me about this, and I can hear them saying you exaggerate. They do not know Harlem, and I do." So that's the Harlem that James Baldwin and so many people post-Harlem Renaissance started to face. And it's really important to acknowledge that side of the civil rights movement.
When did the Harlem Renaissance actually begin, and how did it begin?
It began in around the late 19-teens, like 1919, I think, is the date that a lot of people...
Straight after the First World War.
Yeah, straight after the First World War, lots of people coming back from that war. There was simultaneously another really great writers' movement going on at the same time called the Lost Generation, which would be where you would find people like Hemingway, folks like that, F. Scott Fitzgerald.
White writers, all of them.
And, you know, like I said, that was also around the same time that the Jim Crow laws and the lynching in the South was really getting to be an especially huge problem. And also around the same time that Harlem rents were getting to be very cheap and they were allowing black tenants to come in. And so since all of these writers and bohemians were unable to really join the ranks of white writers that were happening simultaneously, that is why the Harlem Renaissance occurred. Okay. And why you also started to see quite a lot of jazz music coming out around the same time. It wasn't just writers, it was jazz, it was visual artists, it was blues. There was a large cultural movement coming through here from many different fronts. And it ended, as I think we mentioned, because of the Great Depression. The economic crash was just too much, and the neighborhood was still quite fragile economically, and it was too much for it to handle, and that is when it started to go under. And that's when you started to get the much more down-and-out Harlem that James Baldwin experienced and so many writers of the middle of the 20th century experienced.
Yeah, fantastic. Great. Lovely. Thanks for the story.